This morning, we'll be in this passage we just read from Luke 3. In Advent, the time of coming, the anticipated arrival of the Messiah. And this begins with a lot of difficult names to pronounce that Luke had here. But we notice these are specific political leaders that he lists. And he lists the spiritual leaders for the nation of Israel as well. So whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you know, oh, this is what was going on. So this is not a once upon a time fairy tale. This happened in real places with real people. Be like saying, you know, when so-and-so was president, someone else was governor, and Dean Smith was coaching the Tar Heels, you know, those kinds of things. He was anchoring this in actual places. And then he says, when that happened, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. It's a lot like the way John begins his gospel, with these eternal huge things and these cosmic. In the beginning was the Word, created all things. And then there was a man sent from God whose name was John, who came to prepare the way. And quotes the words, Luke quotes the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. That happened even back in the time of Isaiah, which was 700 years before the arrival of the Messiah, when a dignitary was coming to a town. It was a requirement for them to prepare, so they had to level out the high places and any valleys so that they could come with their chariots and their entourage. So we think about the way Jesus described a man going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, the story of the Good Samaritan. That was a very crooked, winding path. You could not take chariots down the way. And so an important royal official, someone, if they were coming, preparation had to be made. There had to be measures taken so that they could come, and kind of a highway would be built. And so this was understood. People would be taxed. It would call, they might be involved. They might be conscripted to work in those projects, but they knew what it takes for royalty to visit. You have to make preparations so that they can come. And what's interesting here, though, is that John is the one sent to prepare the way. God could have used angels. He could have used the company of heaven. He could have used the rocks to cry out. He could have used all kinds of different things, but he used a guy named John to prepare the way for the Messiah in a particular time, in a particular place. So why does that matter? It matters because when we read scripture, you know, we might read past names or locations that we're not really familiar with, but scripture was lived out in real places by real people. The instruction that we received in scripture then can be lived today, right here in Boone, North Carolina, or Newland, or Deep Gap, Blowing Rock, the places that we live, things we hear from scripture, they can be lived. They can be practiced by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God sent John to prepare the way for the Messiah. And God still uses people to prepare the way for the Messiah to come into the hearts of others. That's still primarily how it works. We know that angels had been busy before this. They had visited Elizabeth to let them know about John the Baptist's arrival. They visited Mary. But other than that, the ordinary way that most people come to know the Messiah is through guys like John or James or Dan or ladies like Sarah. These are the ways that God uses to prepare the way for his coming Messiah. And so John, he came, John's gospel tells us, to bear witness that all might believe through him. That was his role. And he had withdrawn to the wilderness to reenact in a way the way that God had cared for his people in the wilderness. But he wasn't just a minimalist after, you know, aesthetic living. He was preparing for his role among people. He had withdrawn from them to hear the word of the Lord and to prepare for his role. And he called them to repentance. That's his chief message. If we read on past our passage today, you'll see that he had some very severe rebukes for those who thought they were walking rightly with the Lord. And so his message was one of repentance. And then he was preaching baptism as well of repentance, which was quite a big deal. Now, if somebody were outside of the Jewish faith and they wanted to become a follower of the Lord, and they wanted to become one of his people, then they would have to be baptized. So for that, they were used to seeing that, some of those people would convert and become a follower of God, and they would become part of the culture and the nation of Israel. But for a Jew to be baptized, they were essentially saying, things are not good with me. I need to be cleansed. I need to be made right with God. So for John to be preaching and for people to be baptized, that was a remarkable work of God for people to realize things are not as they should be. I need cleansing. So God was using John's simple message of repentance in a powerful way to prepare the way for the Messiah. People were repenting. They recognized they needed cleansing. And the other part of his ministry, when John was with his disciples, Jesus came, and we can imagine him there in the waters of the Jordan, holding up his hand, water dripping off of it, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So he taught repentance, and then he taught, look to Jesus. This is the one that I came for. And then his own disciples started following him. "Aren't you upset about this?" "No." He's like, I was preparing for him. My work is complete. He must increase. I must decrease. My role is to call people to repent. Again, not to feel bad about their sins, but it's recognizing they need a cleansing and a change of direction, a change of mind. And then to look to the one who can take away their sins. It says in our passage, verse 6, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." And that was John's message. Repent and behold the Lamb of God. So John had this message. You could sum it up with this. Things can be set right because the Messiah is here. So that was good news. Very good news. Not just you need to repent, things are not as they should be, but actually things can be set right because the Messiah is here. All the other prophets, they had the ministry of saying the Messiah is coming someday. But John alone got to stand and say, the Messiah has come. So repent, change your mind, change your direction, and behold him. Look to him. And so the ministry of John the Baptist is described by Isaiah as preparing the way, making his paths straight. And so for us this morning, in this Advent season, as we remember the anticipation of the Messiah, we enter back into that story ourselves, even in a busy, kind of frenetic pace, all kinds of things going on. How can we prepare our hearts, make room in our hearts for him? The passage that Matt read from 1 Corinthians, there's another in the next, or I guess the third book after he wrote the letter he wrote, the 2 Corinthians, as we know it. Paul said, he's appealing to them as a pastor. He's like, make room in your hearts for us. His role is to ask them in a similar way to John the Baptist, make room in your hearts for us. So how do we make room in our hearts? How do we make these level paths, straighten out the paths for the Lord? First is just to ask him, what needs to be leveled or straightened out in our own lives? Because things can build up, things can accumulate over time. That could be pride, could be resentment, could be all kinds of things. The same way that we have to go to the dentist because plaque gets built up. And even if you do your regular brushing and flossing, there's still things that build up. And so it's a good time to just ask the Spirit to search our hearts and see if there's anything there that needs to be removed. And the bulldozer of the Holy Spirit is effective to remove those things from our hearts. They've got to get knocked down. Or are there valleys? Are there areas of lack that need to be filled in. We've not pursued opportunities to serve and to bless others. Someone challenged me years ago, and they said, what would change in the world today if God answered all of your prayers right now? In other words, his challenge was, how much of our prayers are just about our own concerns, which again, that's a good place to start, but how much time do we actually spend bringing others before the throne of grace and other needs around the world? And so that may be an area to evaluate. Are there things that are lacking that the Lord can help to fill in? And so I think there's two ways that we can straighten and level the paths for the coming Messiah in our own hearts. And the first is to give thanks. That may seem overly simple. I think it is, but it's effective. From 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? If we live that way, if we recognize every good thing that I have, it's from the Lord, that keeps pride from forming, from accumulating, or anything else like that. If we are, and I'm talking about giving thanks as a Christian, not just in a general sense of being mindful, but giving thanks to God for specific things that he has done. And now, of course, God still uses means, but there's this subtle thing that can happen. Well, yeah, I was given these opportunities, but I'm the one who worked hard, I'm the one who saved, I'm the one who initiated. Well, who gave you breath in your lungs while you were doing those things? Who was animating your body? Who was giving you the health? Who was sending sunlight from 93 million miles away while you were doing all those things? And by giving thanks, it helps to trace the source more directly. Through all the different means, we can realize the Lord has provided every good thing that I have. What do I have that I did not receive? And that keeps us incredibly humble, and that keeps us, it straightens the paths in our hearts to the Lord, to recognize him as the source of every good thing that we receive. It's also the antidote to anxiety. You know, in Philippians 4, Paul says, what does he say? Thank you. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because he knows what it's like. He was human. He was incarnate. He knows what it's like to feel this angst of, is there going to be enough money at the end of the month? The political things that are changing, the world is changing. He knows what that's like. But he says not to be anxious. And the way not to be anxious is to remember giving thanks. We bring these things to him and say, Lord, I've got these concerns. I need your help. And I give you thanks that you are the Lord. You're aware of these things. You know my needs. And it's an antidote to that anxiety. But giving thanks in specific ways for what God has done, it straightens the paths. It levels the paths. It fills in what's lacking. It knocks down what's built up and doesn't need to be there. Giving thanks makes straight the paths for the Messiah. Second, meditation. Meditation on God's word is a way of making room in your mind and straightening the paths in our hearts, removing what's built up, restoring what's lacking. In this season, we might evaluate how we spend our time. Yeah, how much time do we spend on maybe phones or TV or other things that are not nourishing? So it's a time to evaluate. And meditation is one of the best ways that I know of to straighten the path, straighten our thinking, because our Martin Luther had this term in Latin, incurvatus in se. We are curved in on ourselves, and we get tangled up in our thinking. And a way of straightening that out is by meditating on the word of God. Because we're always having conversations. Even now you're having conversations, right? So what are you listening to? A way of making sure we've got the right conversation resonating in our minds is by knowing and meditating on the word of God. And there's probably no better way to meditate than by memorizing scripture. So take some passage this Christmas season, this Advent season, and commit it to memory. Because what you're doing is you're chewing on it in your mind over and over, the same words, the same phrases, and it's straightening these paths in your thinking to think rightly about the Lord. It's preparing the way. When I was a freshman in college, there in early December, I was at a worship service, and the guy came out that morning. He was a theater professor. This is going to be interesting. I'm looking for some theatrics. What's he going to do? And he came out without any notes, without his Bible. And he walked up. There was a stage fence, so you could hear his walking, his every footstep he made across. And he looked at us for, it was a pregnant pause, maybe 10 seconds, but it felt like a long time. And then he said, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. I was blown away. I was mesmerized. I'd never heard someone recite that much scripture at one time. And then he went on to tell us the benefits of memorizing scripture. Because what it does, it keeps it in your brain. And if, especially if you're doing it with somebody else, keeping you accountable, hey, in this month, we're going to try to memorize those first 14 verses of John. And what happens is you have to observe and observe and observe all kinds of things in the Word of God by working it back and forth in your mind to commit it to memory. What happens, it straightens out a lot of your thinking because you've got his words coming into you. And so I went back to my dorm room that day and started working on John 1:1-14. And that's a good Christmas Advent passage. And even in that one passage, there is so much. Again, you can feel it by memorizing it, you feel the movement of John's his thinking. He's in these eternal cosmic areas, and his mind is way up here. And then it comes down. There was a guy named John. He came to bear witness about the light, and his mind starts working back up to that all might believe through him, and he's back up here again. He just, the Lord has taken him there, and it's a wonderful thing. And to say that in John's gospel, the word believe is there over and over and over again. And it says, to all who received him, in the very next phrase, who believe in his name. All kinds of benefits of meditating on God's word. So, for us today, from John's example, John the Baptist, God still uses real people in real places to prepare the way for his Messiah. God is still a sending God. He sent John to prepare the way for his Messiah. He sent his son, and he still sends his church to prepare the way for others to know the Messiah, to have life in him. And the way that we prepare ourselves for his coming is straightening the paths so that through giving thanks to God, recognizing him as the source of specific things, it untangles our own pride in thinking we've accomplished certain things, or it helps to remove the anxiety of thinking, well, God provide, he's done it before, but is he going to do it? What about this circumstance? And by meditating on God's word, committing it to memory, it is getting his words, his categories into our heads and into our hearts. And so, Father, we pray that you would straighten the paths in our own hearts. We thank you that you have given us your word, you have given us your Holy Spirit to reveal, to remove what needs to be removed, to build up what is lacking. And we pray in this season that you would meet us, Lord, in your word. Send us out to be effective as those who draw others to know your Messiah. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.